It's time for Marquette College Game Day, powered by ESPN Milwaukee.
Joplin open three. Rebound.
Oh, my goodness.
Owen.
Oh, my goodness.
The Rocket went up and jammed it.
Tonight, Marquette welcomes in the Providence Friars to the Cream City for a Big East clash.
Parham fakes the three instead, penetrate to the basket and dunk.
Brought to you by National Liquor Mart, Cousin Subs, and Marquette Athletics.
Off the Lowry. Lowry, heat check three. Good again.
Off the dribble.
25.
Heat check. There's no checking. He's already hot.
Live from the Atrium inside Fiserv Forum, here's Brian D.
Yet another get-right game for the number 21, Marquette Golden Eagles. How did that happen? I will happily few weeks ago.
Stop it for a second. Marquette's been in the top 25 for 48 straight weeks.
And it might not be much longer after that.
A number 21.
They welcome in the Providence Friars tonight. Two, or at least maybe one, concerned Marquette alum on the broadcast tonight. Alongside Brian D., I am Matt Yazel. A lot to talk about. We welcome in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Ben Steele in just a few minutes. Lots to discuss after the loss at Villanova on Friday night. Some pretty candid comments from Shaka Smart that I want to discuss with Ben. We, of course, walk you up to the network pregame coverage with Gabe Neitzel at Il Cervo at the Trade Hotel at the bottom of the hour. Homer and Tony on the call here from Fiserv Forum on an early tip on a Tuesday night. But Brian, Marquette comes in an 81-66 loss to Villanova, the first loss to Villanova for Shaka Smart, which is certainly impressive in its own right. We touched on that when they came here. The Wildcats just fired away from deep early on, and they never looked back. And again, it inspired some pretty candid comments from Shaka Smart about his concern about this team. So I want to get your main takeaway from that, because I think some fans might look at the game and see, oh, Villanova was just unstoppable from deep. How do you beat them when they shoot that well? They started 9-for-11 in the game. But my take is you wouldn't have got those comments from Shaka Smart if Marquette went in there, played their butts off, and did what they were supposed to do, and Villanova was just too good.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of concern. What was your main takeaway?
That's the main takeaway, is the Shaka comments after the game, based on his actions. I was kind of wondering this in the second half of the game as we started to see Zaid Lowry and Trey Norman get some more innings. I'm like, did Shaka just bench his seniors? And that's exactly what happened. In the second half of that game, now the game was out of hands. Marquette was down 20-plus at points in the second half of the game. And you alluded to it, Villanova started 12 of 15 from three-point range. They were shooting the lights out. But offensively, there was nothing happening with David Joplin and Cam Jones and Stevie Mitchell and these guys that have played unbelievable amounts of basketball at Marquette, and he really challenged them. Let's take a listen to the audio of Shaka Smart from after the game, challenging not as freshmen, not as sophomores, not inexperienced guys, Cam Jones, Stevie Mitchell, and David Joplin, who, for all intents and purposes, got benched in the second half of Friday night's loss to Villanova.
We did not have the requisite fire and passion required, particularly our starting lineup, to be able to come in here on the road and then come back from a deficit. We got a lot to figure out with our starting group in terms of, you know, coming into the game with a level of hunger and passion that we have to have.
Now, I'm fascinated, Matt, and I want your opinion on this, as to whether or not we get changes to the starting lineup tonight.
Yeah.
Because it is an inferior opponent in Providence at home. Marquette smoked these guys in Providence on New Year's Eve, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a relatively risk-free environment to switch it up and say, David Joplin, Cam Jones, you guys have been slumping for 2.5 months. Pull your heads out of your butts and get ready for March. March starts this week.
Yep.
There's four games left in the regular season before you go to Madison Square Garden for the Big East Tournament. You're out of time to get it together. So I'm curious to see if Zaid Lowry, who had a career night, 25 points, 9 of 10 from the field, 5 of 5 from three-point range, I'm curious if he gets into the starting lineup tonight, not because he's going to stay there, but because Shaka wants to send a message to his seniors and say, this is it, guys. This is your last chance to refocus before the tournament.
Well, I think the message, at least the beginning of the message, has already been sent, right, with those comments after the game. And if Zaid Lowry starts tonight, he would have certainly earned it. 9 for 10, 25 points, career-high 26 minutes as well, to your point. So he's certainly earned more minutes regardless of whether he's going to start tonight. And Ben Steele did a great piece again. He's joining us in a few minutes here, so we'll certainly dive into that with Ben. But, Brian, you did some digging today.
Yes.
It's, again, March is a few days away. It is bracketology season, folks, and ESPN came out with a pretty spicy bracketology update today for Marquette. I would say there's not necessarily a positive aspect to it, but there's a negative one and a potentially extremely interesting one. The negative one is they fall to the sixth line.
Yep.
The extremely interesting one is they play their rivals, and the Wisconsin Badgers could play in the second round. Marquette against the either Nebraska or Oklahoma in that play-in game,
yep,
and then Wisconsin against Chattanooga.
Yes. So I'm a bracketology guy. Like every Tuesday morning for 15 years, I'm looking for Lenardi's bracketology to drop. I remember sitting in Schrader Hall my sophomore year eating
iconic,
like chicken parm for lunch from our guy Silent James, who wouldn't really talk to you. He would just hand you a breadstick with your chicken parm at Schrader. And I remember like being on my laptop at Marquette going, oh my god, bracketology's out. Is Marquette going to get in? Or where are they seated? So it came out today. And like you said, Marquette's a six seed. This is all projection at this point. Now, it's well-informed projection from Joe Lenardi, but projection nonetheless. But Marquette is in a 6-11 game in the play-in game there. The three game would be Wisconsin versus Chattanooga. So theoretically, if this lined up like this and both teams won, Marquette and Wisconsin, they would play in the second game of the NCAA tournament, which, in my opinion, would be a top five most important college basketball game in the history of the state, right? Because you would have the final four games that Wisconsin played in, the national championship game against Duke, Marquette's final four game, and then Marquette's national championship. So kick one of those out because it's against one another, right? And you could probably throw Marquette versus Kansas out because Marquette got smoked and the Marquette faithful in New Orleans just went out and drank Bourbon Street out of beer and Steve Novak met his wife that night. All true statements. This would be unbelievable if it lined up this way. And furthermore, this would happen in Cleveland, Ohio. So a reasonable drive for both fan bases to invade Cleveland for what would be an unbelievable weekend of college hoops.
And it takes Wisconsin out of this building, by the way, who
yes.
is hosting NCAA tournament games. You know the Badger faithful is hoping to come back here. Didn't work out well for them last time, though.
No. And, you know, I still think there's a very high likelihood Wisconsin ends up playing here at Fiserv Forum.
Yeah.
But they had a fumble of their own on Saturday afternoon. They were up 17 at home with less than 7 minutes left to the Oregon Ducks, and the Oregon came storming back, quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth, and ended up stealing that game in overtime. I could have drank that with a spoon. It was lovely to see. So I think that it's a long shot that we get Marquette versus Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament. It's always exciting to see this kind of thing happen on ESPN.com. Regardless, it's a good position for Marquette to be in at this point in the year. Not as good as we would have hoped, but a lock to make the NCAA tournament for the fourth consecutive year. And if they can rectify things starting tonight against Providence, who knows, they heat up and anything can happen.
Absolutely. By the way, a trip up for Wisconsin. They didn't fall in the rankings at all. I was a little surprised by that. They're still on the 11 line. Of course, Marquette at 21. All right, we're hitting our first break. Afterwards, we welcome in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Marquette reporter Ben Steele. Lots to talk about here on Marquette College Game Day, brought to you all season long by National Liquor Mart, Cousin Subs, and Marquette Athletics. We'll be right back at 94.5 ESPN.
We did not have the requisite fire and passion required, particularly our starting lineup, to be able to come in here on the road and then come back from a deficit. We got a lot to figure out with our starting group in terms of, you know, coming into the game with a level of hunger and passion that we have to have.
Candid comments from Shaka Smart about the starting lineup after the loss to Villanova on Friday night. Marquette College Game Day here from Fiserv Forum. Alongside Brian D., I'm Matt Yezo, and we welcome in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Marquette reporter Ben Steele. And Ben, I'm sure a more interesting than usual Shaka Smart post-game after that loss.
Yeah.
A lot more to talk about. Of course, you can read all of Ben's work at jsonline.com. A piece today about the starting lineup and the potential for some shakeup there. Do you anticipate a different starting lineup? Marquette's starting lineup, as you mentioned, has been the same all year long,
right.
Has not changed really much at all in Shaka Smart's tenure. Do you expect some change?
I would say I am somewhere on the spectrum between... I wouldn't be surprised, because I think this team needs a little shakeup, needs a little spark somewhere. That's the easiest way to go about doing it. I wouldn't say that I'd be shocked, though. So I'm you know, somewhere in that middle ground, just because it's not usual, usually Shaka's MO to do this, like you said.
Right.
Like this, the lineup hasn't changed. In the past three seasons, they've only had 8 starters, which is crazy.
Yeah.
The five guys are starting now. The other three guys are in the NBA, which is just crazy to think about. He has done this before. His first season, he shook up the starting lineup. Most notably, he put Cam Jones in for Omax Prosper when the team started out. And the first 6 games, they were struggling coming out of the gates, had slow starts, kind of like this team.
Yeah, but
so it would be unprecedented, but I would be surprised.
That was 6 games into his tenure,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we're talking about guys, man,
yes,
that have played hundreds of college basketball games at this point, David Joplin, Cam Jones, and Stevie Mitchell.
Right.
How does this happen?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the biggest issue with this team is its shooting, right? I mean, it's the obvious thing. They're not a good three-point shooting team, under 32% for the year. The three guys that are struggling the most, Ben Gold, David Joplin, Stevie Mitchell, I mean, they're daring those guys to shoot. I mean, they're opposing defenses are just packing the paint. Sometimes the, like, Creighton has, you know, started the trend of putting their centers on Stevie Mitchell and just roaming him off and, you know, playing 10 feet off, so everything is clogged. So this Marquette offense is predicated on three-pointers and shots at the rim. Well, if everything is packed, like, you can't get shots at the rim. And, you know, Marquette's taken almost half its shots or three-pointers, and if you're not a good three-point shooting team. And I think the issue with the three starters, that why Shaka was upset, is that I think the frustrations are starting to bleed over to the defensive end.
Yeah.
And those guys were, like, missing assignments. They weren't playing as hard as they usually do, which is crazy when you're talking about Stevie Mitchell, who,
for sure.
I mean, that's what he's known for. Yeah, I think
on the topic of Stevie Mitchell, I think a lot of fans were surprised by the 14 minutes,
right,
regardless of if he's struggling offensively. I mean, there's only been a few games where he's really shined offensively, right? But the defense is where he brings it. Do you suspect any injury problems there? We know he got hurt a few games back. Do you think that's still a lingering issue, or is it really just he's struggling now?
Yeah, he's been playing with tendonitis in both of his Achilles all season. I mean, but he's played through that. He hasn't been benched in any game before that.
For sure.
It really was a performance thing. And, yeah, I felt bad for Stevie. Like, he had 80 friends and family at the game. He had a whole, like, Stevie Mitchell section, and they see him play for, you know, 13 minutes, which is
brutal.
You know, not the way you want to go about those sorts of things.
Ben Steele, the Journal Sentinel, joins us here on Marquette College Game Day. Marquette taking on Providence at 6 o'clock tonight right here on 94.5 ESPN. The bright spot, obviously, Zaid Lowry with a coming-out party, 25 points for the sophomore. Finally, a breakout game from somebody in this sophomore class.
Yeah, if you're looking to shake up the starting lineup, he's the guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to put him in for Joplin, you know, Joplin's 6'9", Zaid is 6'5". The plus with Zaid is, like, he's a really good rebounder. He's got athleticism. He's got good length. He gets after the ball. So I don't know if you would lose a lot. You might gain some in the rebounding edge. I don't know, defensively, you know, banging against a big power forward might be some issues for Zaid. You can see the confidence growing with him every game. And those shots, you know, he's 5 for 5. I don't know if you can expect that every game. But still, like, seeing the shots go down, I mean, that was a big confidence boost for him.
Didn't even touch the rim.
Yeah, I mean, it was just hesitant. Like, he was taking one step, sidestep dribbles and knocking them down. So, I mean, that's a good sign. I was probably the biggest positive for Marquette over the last 3 weeks when they've been struggling, for sure.
It was about time for somebody off the bench to step up. Brian, I know you talked a lot about those sophomores that just we needed to see the development from. We hadn't, and we finally are with Zaid Lowry. I want to bring up Royce Parham as well. He was the other guy you kind of mentioned as someone off the bench who's starting to show a little bit more in terms of the size that Marquette needs. If Ben Gold, in particular, is going to be playing less minutes, do you expect Royce Parham to get more opportunity, and do you think he's ready to step up in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, if he gets more minutes, he's not shy about putting the shots up.
Yeah.
His numbers, you know, they're equivalent shooting-wise to Ben Gold, so I don't know if it changes that much on that end. But he's playing hard. The thing is, if you want to put a freshman in, you're going to get mistakes on the defensive end as well. It's just the nature of being a freshman, even this late in the season. It's just going to happen. I do think his minutes will tick up. I don't know if he'll completely, like, usurp Ben Gold's minutes, as many Marquette fans want to see. But, you know, The problem is, you know, with Ben Gold and David Joplin struggling, there's just not a lot of depth in Marquez front court. There's just not a lot of options there.
Ben, is this fixable in your opinion? Marquette fans really want to make that second weekend. I think that's the bar now, and it should be under Shaka Smart. Is this team good enough to do that this year?
It's going
to
be matchup based, I think. Ugh. You know, always in the NCAA tournament, the matchups matter. You would think, like, I've been saying all along that I think the three-point shooting percentages have to increase, but they're just not increasing. So at this point, like, it is what it is, and I don't think it's going to.
Cams is the most concerning for me, man. And correct me if I'm wrong. It just feels like he's gripping the bat really tight, trying to be a point guard when he's not.
Yeah.
Would it be advantageous to just put the ball in somebody else's hands and let him play two?
Yeah. I mean, you think back to last season, that was where he was getting great. I mean, there's no Tyler Kolek on this team, unfortunately, so he's not going to get those, you know, perfect pocket passes right in his shooting pocket like he was last season. Yeah, with Cam, he had a couple last game that looked good. They just, like, rimmed out. They were just unlucky. But, yeah, I think just the sheer amount of minutes and workload that's put on him as far as creation, shot creation, passive creation, I think it's just wearing at him at this point.
Well, our thanks to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Ben Steele for joining us. You can, of course, catch all of his work at jsonline.com.
Spending a little time in New York City over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah,
that's just the tournament.
Fun. Get the bagels going.
Attaboy.
Best bagel. We always check out shout out that place every season. Sponsor the show, Best Bagel, please.
Thanks, Ben. Right. We'll be right back to preview the rest of Marquette's schedule, Big East standings, maybe a little more bracketology after the break here on 94.5 ESPN. Four games left for this Golden Eagles squad before the Big East tourney at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Marquette welcomes in Providence tonight. Brian D. and Matt Yazel wrapping up the show before Gabe Neitzel takes over from the Trade Hotel for your network pregame coverage. So you got 1 week. Providence, and then at Georgetown
win.
Saturday night. Certainly hope so. Then next week, you're at UConn and home against St. John's. That tip-off has been set for Senior Day against the seemingly going to be Big East regular season conference champion, St. John's. They are 15-2 in conference. They will clinch at least a share with a win tomorrow night at Butler. Creighton still technically in the mix as well. But
11 a.m. tip for Senior Day, by the way. So that'll be a nice early start for everybody here in Milwaukee.
10 a.m. Marquette College Game Day, our last one here from Fiserv Forum. And big news from Georgetown, Thomas Sorber, who could be a lottery pick, Big East Freshman of the Year candidate, is out for the season. So that makes that game a heck of a lot easier for Marquette. But, Brian, in tonight's game, where we could see some shakeup, could not in the starting lineup, and at Georgetown before those two really tough games next week, what's at the top of your list of what you want to see?
Wins. You got to beat these two teams. They're inferior opponents, Providence and Georgetown. That would set yourself up, if you're Marquette, to jockey for that number two seed, which is what you want when you go to Madison Square Garden, because you'd play an early afternoon game on Thursday, likely against Butler or DePaul, and then you take your chances against St. John's if you can win that one in the semifinal right on Friday night, which is going to be an unbelievably difficult environment. Now, I think there's an argument to be made if you want to win the Big East tournament and get hot into March Madness, you might be better off getting into the bottom half of the bracket as like a four or five seed, because then you avoid St. John's until Saturday night, right? But that, of course, means you have to go through Creighton or UConn, which makes your path a little bit more difficult on Friday. So it's always fun and challenging when you get to Madison Square Garden, but the goal at this point is just to play better basketball if you're Marquette.
100%, and they have the opportunity in front of them. A couple of games, as you said, against inferior opponents, then two big testy and the regular season.
And let's put it in perspective here. Marquette is still 20-7. They're 11-5 in Big East play. They're probably going to get 13, maybe 14 conference wins. I know it sucks right now. It feels bad because they're not playing great, but this program's still in a great spot, right? And I think it's important to provide that context at this point in the season when things feel like they're unraveling a little bit. Still time to get it right. Still time to play your best basketball, and the state of the program is still awesome.
Third place in the conference behind St. John's and Creighton, with a couple of big games left to go before we get into the craziness of March Madness. That does it for Brian D. and myself here from Fiserv Forum, for our producer Chris Larson as well. Next up is your network pregame coverage. Gabe Neitzel's got you after the break from Ilt Chervo here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.